This shiur is dedicated to the Refuah Shleima of Chaim Yesocha ben Chaim Mushkat, Chaim Feigenbaum, our dear friend, Shekudosh Baruch Yishlach for Refuah Shleima min Hashemayim. I also ask everybody listening to this shiur to say a tefillah for the Refuah Shleima of Yitzchok Yankov ben Bas Yesora, Dr. Berezan, who also needs a Refuah min Hashemayim, and in the Schus of Torah, we should only hear B'seiris Tovis. B'hoyo b'yom ha'shishi v'hechinu asa she'yoviyu. It's from this pasuk that we learn the mitzvah of hachana, the negative aspect of hachana, which is explained in Beit Zed of Beis HaMidbeis, which is defined as hachana d'rabba, and also the positive precept of preparing for Shabbos. The discussion we will have today, the topic we will be dealing with is a person also required to make an effort Erev Shabbos and prepare Erev Shabbos to avoid and prevent the need to be Mechala Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh? This is a very broad and very relevant discussion, especially in Israel in two vast, big enterprises. The first is the army. The IDF, which is basically involved in Hatzolos Nefoshos Pikuach Nefesh. There are 1,001 things that have to be done every Shabbos, which are defined as Pikuach Nefesh. And the questions which arise are always, so what, to what extent and to what degree do we have to invest time and energy Erev Shabbos to try to prevent the need of Chilul Shabbos? And just to give you a few very brief examples, if there is an operation planned for Leil Shabbos, 11 o'clock at night, so the soldiers have to come together, let's say at 8 o'clock for a briefing, and then they move to their goal, to their destination. So a soldier that is a Shomer Shabbos, but nevertheless, operations are definitely defined as Pikuach Nefesh. Does he have to make an effort to arrive at the base 4 o'clock in the afternoon before Shabbos? That means leaving his family earlier, not being able to daven Leil Shabbos with a minyan, or saying Kiddush at home, to avoid the need of Chilul Shabbos, even though he definitely will be engaged in Chilul Shabbos, but at least to a lesser extent. And these questions come up in the police, come up in hospitals, because hospitals, once again, are involved basically with Pikuach Nefesh. And in the hospital, there are also many things that one can do Erev Shabbos, either by effort or expenses. So to what degree does a person have to prepare Erev Shabbos to avoid the need to be Mechala Shabbos Letzorech Pikuach Nefesh? The Netziv has a great chiddush twice in his magnificent Svarim, Hemek Dovar Parshas Veschanan, Hemek Shalom, on the She'ilta that of Achai Gaon, and She'ilta number one, She'ilta Aleph. And in both places, he has a very novel interpretation of the Posek Shomer Es Yom HaShabbos LeKadshoy. In Parshas Yisroi, the Posek says, Zocher Es Yom HaShabbos LeKadshoy, Parshas Veschanan, Shomer Es Yom HaShabbos LeKadshoy, and we all remember Chazal that say, Zocha v'shoma b'dibur echod ne'emru. So the Netziv has an interesting comment. Just like Zocha l'shem Shabbos l'katshoy is relevant not only on Shabbos but also on the weekdays, and the Gemara says that a person has to prepare all week to have a great Shabbos, and Beis Shammai, whenever they saw something nice and beautiful and good, they said it should be for a Kovet Shabbos. Shoma l'shem Shabbos l'katshoy. And the same idea is relevant the entire week. And just like in the positive way, a person has to prepare all week for Shabbos, also in the negative context. And it is incumbent upon us to do every effort. In the middle of the week, we shouldn't need to be Mechalel Shabbos. But this is a unique pshat. We do not find any remez to this perish in the Gemara, in the Rishonim, or any other early source. And therefore, I don't think the Netziv is really a relevant halachic source. But the basic principle is found in many, many different sources of the Achronim. I'll just mention a few of them. Chuvis Chasam Sofer Yoredes and then Shin Lamed Ches. The Chasam Sofer deals with a Kohen doctor, a doctor who is a Kohen, and the question is whether he could come to scenes in which obviously there are deceased persons, the person passed away, and all the doctor could do is just to certify that the person died and issue a Tu'udat Ptira. And the Chasam Sofer says, even though if there is a Pikuach Nefesh Shaila, we would not differentiate in any way between a Kohen and a Yisrael, but it definitely isn't the right thing that a Kohen should lechatchila make himself available and undertake any job or duty which probably will be involved with Tumas Kohanim. And there's some sort of comments that isn't it simple ruling, isn't it self-evident that we have to prepare Erev Shabbos whatever is needed for a Yeledes, a Chodesh Yesh B'Sekona, or a Bris. In the same way, the Kohen should undertake and perform anything needed to avoid Tumas Kohanim. So the Chasam Sofer doesn't elaborate, and he doesn't mention what the source of this halacha is, or what is its rationale, but he just says with total simplicity that it's a milsad of shita, that a person is required to prepare whatever is needed for Chodesh Yesh B'Sekona to avoid a need of Chilul Shabbos. We find the same halacha, the same principle in Mishneh Berurah Siman Shin Mem Daled. Regarding the halacha of a person that's in the middle of the desert and he doesn't remember when Shabbos is, and the Gemara says exactly what he's supposed to do. So if he remembers the day that he embarked on his journey, then the Gemara says he definitely could assume that that wasn't Shabbos. A God-fearing Jew doesn't embark on a journey in Shabbos. So even though he doesn't know whether it was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, but he could assume that it wasn't Shabbos, and therefore every 8 day from the day he left his house obviously isn't Shabbos, and therefore he could do any malacha. And the Chronim say that if possible, he has to do whatever he needs on that day to prevent the need to be Mechala Shabbos on the other days. So the Mishneh Berurah writes in Sha'at Sin and Sif Kotin Tes that from this halacha we could learn that a Jewish soldier in a foreign army, and we know that the Chofetz Chaim cared a great deal about young Jewish youth that served in the Russian army and the Polish army and other Eastern European armies, and there was totally no consideration for the needs of these Jewish youngsters and their Shemitah Torah V'Mitzvahs. So the Mishneh Berurah makes a remark. If he has a mission to accomplish or a duty to do that involves Chilul Shabbos, and he must finish his job by Shabbos afternoon, that he is halachically obliged to make an effort and try to do the entire job before Shabbos to prevent the need, to avoid the need of being Mechala Shabbos. Even though Chilul Shabbos would be defined, considered Pikuach Nefesh, nevertheless, he has to try to do before Shabbos whatever he can. So it is the same principle we find in the Mishneh Berurah. So I mentioned before that according to the Netziv, this is a Din D'oraisa that we learn from the Posek Shomer Tzion Shabbos Lekatcha. But I also said that I think such a novel interpretation should probably be stated not by the Netziv, but by Rabbi Kiva ben Yosef or Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, Abaye Varova. And we do not find any mention of this interpretation either in Chazam or in the Rishonim or the Great Poskim. My personal feeling is, and to explain the idea, I want to first of all deal with another sugi. In Minchas Sosha Masechet Pesachim Simen Hei, I wrote a lengthy article dealing with the Minchas Chinuch. The Tzlach says in Pesachim Dav Gimel that a person is Bederech Rechoiko, is potter from Pesach Rishon, and he is entitled to do Pesach Sheni. And the Mishnah, the Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvahei is the Mitzvah of Korban Pesach, disputes this, the Tzlach, and he argues that the Din of Derech Rechoike is merely a halacha that he still has second opportunity. He does Pesach Sheni, but he is not exempt from Pesach Rishon, and he has to make every effort to arrive on time to Yerushalayim to do the first Korban Pesach, just in the same way a person is required to build a sukkah out of sukkahs, and to ensure that he will have the possibility to be mekayemes a sukkah. And in the same way he has to buy a lulav or an esrog or matzahs or tefillin or any other mitzvah. And if he didn't build a sukkah on time, even though Beleil sukkahs, he has no sukkah, and he's in a non-Jewish town, and he might argue, I'm an oinus, but nevertheless he is a mevatel mitzvah to say, because he should have prepared on time. Mishatorach be'erev Shabbos, yorekol b'Shabbos. Mishaloitorach be'erev Shabbos, ma yorekol b'Shabbos. So the Mechaz Chinuch argues, Bitur mitzvah to say. And what I wrote in that article is, Lani Esaiti, there is no such thing a person as mevatel mitzvah before he has the opportunity to be mekayem the mitzvah. One cannot be mevatel mitzvah before the zman of the mitzvah actually arrived. So, by not building a sukkah, erev sukkah, he is not halachically defined as a mevatel mitzvah sukkah. And when night comes, he is an oynes, oynes tachmona patra. So, do I mean to say that a person isn't mechuyev to prepare a sukkah? No, definitely not. But my argument with the Mechaz Chinuch is only in halachic definition. And my feeling is, I explained many times, and I wrote at length about this concept in Minchas Oshel Dvorim Siman Nun Aleph. Besides Tariag Mitzvah Shebetoiro, a person is mechuyev lasos ratzoin oviv shebashumayim. And there are many, many obligations that a Jew has that are not included in the Tariag. The Tariag are explicit chiyuvim, commands. Beyond Tariag Mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gile ritzoinoi, and a person has to do ritzoin Hashem. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Tariag Mitzvahs, it is His will that we perform those mitzvahs. And it is the general chiyuv of ritzoin Hashem that obligates a person to prepare in advance. He should be able to mekayim the mitzvahs. Let me ask an interesting question. In the Dorm Daf Tesvov, the Mishnah says, a neder is chal al dvar mitzvah. And if a person made a neder, koinem sukkah ulai, he cannot sit in sukkah. And the issue of neder overrides the mitzvah of sukkah. So how would we react to a person? He doesn't really like sukkahs. It's cold, he feels uncomfortable. At home he has a big recliner which he loves. He doesn't have place for his recliner in the sukkah, so at a sukkah he's going to make a neder, koinem sukkah olai. And then come night he says, well, I asked my rabbi, al pi halacha I can't sit in the sukkah because I made a neder. So how would we relate to this person? Is he mevatel mitzvah to say, well, al pi halacha he can't sit in the sukkah? So obviously that's the halacha. What issa was he over when he made a nether? Is there an issa on making a nether? So once again, I think that his transgression is not being over on a certain mitzvah by halachic definition, but he did an act which is neged ritzon Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we perform the mitzvahs be'ahava u'besimcha, and not try to get away from being mekayem mitzvahs. And that is the rationale, and that is the source of the chiyuv to prepare. We should have the possibility, the opportunity to be mekayim all the mitzvahs. And another place in my swan, Bereishis Siman Lametes Oz Beis, I wrote at great length, dealing with the question, how much effort does a person have to dedicate in order to perform mitzvahs? To what extent does he have to go? And I wrote at great length. The Chayodim says in Klal Samaches Sif Yutes that a person doesn't have to leave his home and move to another place, even temporarily, in order to be mekayim a mitzvah. And to me, it's a big pella, because there's a beferesh Sif in Shulchan Aruch Tov Reish Pei Hei Sif Zayin. The Mechaba says, if a person lives in a town or a city in which there is no kriya of Parsha Zohar, he has to leave his home and move Shabbos to another place where they do read the Parsha of Zohar. So it's a Refresh Shanoch that a person does have to leave his home and temporarily go to another place in order to perform a mitzvah. So I brought various different sources. Mincha Sosho Pashas V'yetze Bereshis Simen Lamites. An interesting chazanish. I think it's a big chiddush of the chazanish from Bava Kama, Simen Chof Aleph, Os Chof Gimel. There's a very well-known halacha. A person doesn't have to go to work in order to pay debt. A person has to pay debt from what he has. But if for some reason he doesn't have a job, he is not obligated to take a job and rent himself away in order to pay debt. The Chazanish argues this is only for Prius Belchoy because it's a monetary obligation. But a person is required to take on a job. He should have money to perform his mitzvahs, to buy tefillin, to buy tzitzis, to build a sukkah, or any other mitzvah. And I think this is a chiddush because all the sources that I brought in Parshas V'yetze, they deal with the amount of effort a person has to exert in order to be mekayem the mitzvah in a direct way. How much effort does he have to make to daven with a minyan, to build a sukkah, to go to the marketplace and buy a lulav? But the Chazon Ish is dealing with making an effort in an indirect way. Does he have to go to work and take a job to make money and then have enough money to purchase what is needed for the mitzvahs? I think the rationale of the Chazon Ish is a very simple one. Bidarkoi shaloylam, people take on jobs to buy food, to buy clothing, for the quality of life, and for whatever is needed in Olam Hazeh. Lo teik heres kipundikis. If that is darke shalom for Olam Hazeh, manichin chay olam, voiskim b'chay shoh, whatever a person would usually do to achieve whatever he needs on this world, he definitely should do at least as much to perform the mitzvahs of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and to achieve Chaye Oilam. Another interesting source which I would bring in this same sugya is the Tshuva of the Rivash. The Rivash had a very tumultuous life in the beginning of the Spanish Inquisition, and he deals in several tshuvas about the Anusim, called Moranos in English. Those were Jews who publicly took upon themselves Christianity, but actually in the underground, in their personal lives, remained devoted and dedicated to Yiddishkeit. And it was a major controversy and halachic discussion at the time, because multitudes, many others, left everything behind and went into exile. Some of them actually were killed and gave away their lives to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. But many of the Jews didn't rise to the challenge, and they kept on being loyal Jews in hiding, but publicly denounced Judaism and converted to Christianity. And the Rivash was asked in Siman Dalet whether you could drink the wine of these people, would they have a din of a mumah or not. So at the beginning of the Tshuva, the Rivash argues that according to the Rambam, that a person that was not Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and he was Oivor, he wasn't Mekayim the Aloch of Yeherik Valiava, but nevertheless, he is not punishable because he's an Oines, Oines Lechmona Patre. And the Rivash argues that according to the Rambam, he's not Posel Eidus. He has all the dinam of an Oines, and therefore he's a kosher Jew, he's not considered a Mumah. However, and this is an interesting comment which is relevant to our present Sugya, however, the Rivash says, if they had a chance to leave Spain, to leave Portugal, and to move to a free country in which they could keep their Yiddishkeit publicly, and they did not do so, they didn't take the opportunity, then they are puzzled. That act in itself, the fact that they didn't flee, that they didn't go away, that they didn't leave everything behind, invalidates their Yiddishkeit, and in that case it would be considered mumrim. So what we learn from this Rivash, even though here and now it is a pikuach nefesh situation, and the fact that they keep their Yiddishkeit only in hiding doesn't puzzle them. But they are halachically required to leave the place and to make the effort of leaving their homes, leaving their circles, leaving their families, moving into exile in order to fulfill Yiddishkeit in its whole fashion, in its totality, and not relying on the kula, the het of pikuach nefesh. That is halachic obligation, and therefore, if they did not do so, then yeinam yeinesach, and they have the din of hamor. So we have brought various sources in which we see that a person is required to do whatever is needed. He should be able to keep his Yiddishkeit in its fullest. And I think that this chiyuv is based, as I explained before, on Ritzayin Hashem. And I think that the negative context as well. Why are we required to do whatever is within our power to avoid and prevent the need to be mechana Shabbos at Tzorech Pikuach Nefesh? The same principle, the same concept, the same reasoning. Because a person is mechuyev la'aseh Ritzayin Hashem. And it is the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we fulfill all the mitzvahs of say, and we do not rely on the argument Oynes Lechmona Patrei. And it is the Ratzon of Hashem that we are mekayim all the mitzvahs loisese, and we do not rely on Pikuach Nefesh Shedoich Kol HaTorah Kula. I think two sides of the same coin. Going back to the question, so how much effort does a person have to dedicate in order he shouldn't rely on Pikuach Nefesh? One of the most relevant sources and interesting sources is Dafke, not in Hilchos Shabbos, not in Orach Chaim, but rather in Yoredeism and Shin Ayin Dalet. Shin Ayin Dalet, we learn the din of a Meis Mitzvah. A Meis Mitzvah, even a Kohen, is required to be Metame, to bring him to burial. And the reasoning of this halacha is Kvoid Meis. So if there's a Meis Mitzvah, and the only person that really cares is a Kohen, he's entitled, and not only the title, but also required to be metam atzmai, to be mesasik in the deceased. If he has the ability to pay for someone else to take care of the mace, is he required to do so? Does he have to spend his money to pay for someone to take care of the mace, and then he wouldn't have to expose himself to Tumas mace, which is actually in itself Tumas Kohanim? So the Ramo says, no, he's not required to do so. Because the Torah is matter for a kohen to be metam atzmi le'meis mitzvah. So even if he could have someone else do the job, but if he's, by monetary laws, he is not mechuyev to pay. So what we see here is, a person is not mechuyev to spend the money to avoid tumas kohanim le'tzorech mitzvah, even though, obviously, it's only a gedder of the huyo or hutro. It is only b'shas hadchak, but nevertheless, mutar l'kohen atomet atzmo l'meis mitzvah, and he doesn't have to spend money to prevent tumas kohanim for a meis mitzvah. And probably the same rule would apply. A person doesn't have to spend money to avoid a situation in which pikuach nefesh doicho shabbos. So one could argue, maybe there's a difference between Oynes and Pikuach Nefesh, and maybe there also is a difference between the din of Meis Mitzvah and Pikuach Nefesh. And these truly are valid arguments. Yesh mokom l'chalak. But at the bottom line, I think that it isn't reasonable to mechalak. I think that basically, kol hanacholim hulchim aleihem, and all these halachas are basically the same. The heter of a kohen with a meis mitzvah is similar to the heter of pikuach nefesh, is similar to the din of oynes lechmona patrei, even though in dakus l'inyan, in nuances, there is room to differentiate between one halacha and the others, but basically I think that the basic concept, the basic question is the same. And in my opinion, because we're not dealing with the chiyuv gomer, but rather with the concept of asiyas, Ritzayin Hashem, And therefore I think a person is mechuyev at a reasonable price, at a reasonable effort. He doesn't have to go out of his way and an uncommon or unreasonable degree of effort and tercha and koshi or pain or monetary expense. And if those are involved, then a person could simply say, the halacha is pekuach nefesh derech Shabbos. However, what I do want to point out is that we do have to differentiate between coincidence and seder and a system. And I definitely do think that a hospital or any other institution should dedicate a lot of thought and energy and should try, make a major effort, to build a system in a way in which we would be memaet chilul Shabbos. Not at every effort in the world, but definitely, I think, more than what is demanded from the individual when we're dealing with something which is coincidental. There are two sugyas which are similar to our basic discussion, not the same, but similar in a way. Two sugyas in which we find that a person should not initiate and actively do something which will cause pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. One is the sugya in Shabbos Yutesu Nedalaf. Ein mafliyim besvena pochas mishloishi yomem lifnei Shabbos. Various pshotim in the Rishonim. What is the issa? What is the time? The reason of this takana? The Balamor Rabbeinu Zerachiyahu Alevi maintains that when you're on a ship in the ocean or on the seas, many melachos have to be performed, which would be defined as pikuach nefesh. You have to take care of the ship, and you know, well, just a short while ago, we all know what happened with the Costa Concordia in Italy. So obviously, if you don't take care of your ship as you should, there are many hazards out there on the seas. We all know the story of the Titanic, which was 100 years ago. So the Balamor says, a person should not embark on a ship journey less than 3 days before Shabbos. And the reason is because you are directly causing or putting yourself into a situation which you'll have to be mechalel Shabbos for pikuach nefesh, and that is a prohibition. However, this is a takana. And not always could we learn svara from takana, but what we do see from this halacha is that, at least as a basic principle, it is incumbent upon a person not to bring forth a situation in which he would have to be mechalel Shabbos. The second source, which is not a takana, but rather a sefon and a machlokes and a shoinim, is an eidav and samach zayin amid beis. In days of yore, it was broadly understood that you need to wash a baby with warm water right after the bris. And if you don't do so, you are jeopardizing the baby's life. It is no longer the custom in our times, but that is the case in the Gemara, as the Rambam also makes very clear in Hilchos Shabbos. So what do? If warm water was prepared for the baby, and somebody spilled it out, and we do not have any warm water, according to the Balamor, we postpone the bris. Even though Mila Deiche Shabbos, and it's a mitzvah to say Mila Bezmana, but if we do the Mila, we will have to boil water. Otherwise, we're jeopardizing the baby's life. And we are not allowed to cause a situation in which we will have to be Machalas Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore, the bris is postponed. Then Amban argues, Ein le mitzvah zela mekumam v'sha'atam. We have a chiyuv of mila bezmana, mila derech Shabbos. That's what you've got to do. After the bris, well, it's pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh once again is derech Shabbos. So even according to the Ramban, the justification will only be because we're mechuyev a mitzvah mila. But if not for mitzvah mila, the Ramban definitely would agree to the Balamor that one is not allowed to directly, actively cause a situation of pikuach nefesh, which would be derech Shabbos. So these are the sources that a person is not allowed to cause chilul Shabbos But it is not enough. We cannot learn from here that a person also has to actively undertake and do things to avoid a situation of Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos. And it is on this point that we elaborated at the beginning of this year to being various sources that is the chiyuv indeed, but not at any price. So a question I've been asked many, many times is, when a pregnant woman is in the ninth month, approaching the time of birth, what effort does she have to do to be close to the hospital? So in Israel, I know many young couples that try to move as close as possible to the hospital Erev Shabbos, and sometimes it's a tremendous burden for them, for the young family, sometimes for their parents. I even know some cases in which a young couple rented an apartment close to Shari Tzedek or another hospital in order to minimize the Chilul Shabbos if she will have to have that baby on Shabbos. I even know of crazy situations in which a young lady was in labor at a Shabbos afternoon, and she asked the doctor to give a ziruz because to have the baby before Shabbos, and they shouldn't have to be mechala Shabbos, which is definitely above and beyond the call of duty. I even know a weird case I was witness to of a woman that was in labor. It was the Yotzat of Rabbi Melech Melezhensk, and her husband, who was a big chassid, very much wanted a baby born on the Yotzat, so he asked the doctor. It was in the afternoon, a few minutes before the Shkia, so he asked the doctor to give his ziruz because he wants the baby to be born on the Yotzat of Rabbi Melech Melezhensk. Well, obviously there is no limit to insanity. Yeah, I don't know how to describe it. But in any event, to what extent does a young couple have to go to try to minimize or avoid Chilul Shabbos in the din of Yoledes? The Magen Avraham, Shin Lamed Sif Kot Nalev, brings from the Sefer Chassidim that when a woman gets into the ninth month of pregnancy, she should prepare everything needed at Shabbos to minimize Chilul Shabbos if she will have that baby on Shabbos. It's interesting, because the source of this halacha is Sefer Chassidim. The Magen Avraham writes Chayiv. The Mishnah Berurah Sif Kot Nalev writes Ra'ui. The Och Shulchan writes Minad Chassidim V'Anshei Maisa. So what would seem to be a chiyuv in Magen Avraham is modified in Mishnah Berurah, and even more so in the Och Shulchan. So to me it seems simple that this is not really a psak halacha, but rather a midas chassidus and a fitting recommendation. The Och Shulchan says Minad Chassidim V'Anshei Maisa, and I think his basic logic is, where is this halacha found? Sefer Chassidim. What is Sefer Chassidim if not Minhogim of Chassidim V'Anshem Isaac Yishmo Kain Hu? And I think this is a lesser chiyuv because we cannot be confident that she's going to have the baby dafka on Shabbos. After all, for every Shabbos we have 6 weekdays, and therefore it definitely is a Hanhoga Re'uyo and a Midas Chassidus. But I do not think that there is a halachic obligation or even a midas chassidus to go into strain or a big burden or a tremendous effort and being a burden on others or spending money in order to minimize Chilul Shabbos. But frak, there's going to have to be some Chilul Shabbos in any case, in any event, and therefore I think if it's not a major effort, well, it would be the right thing to do. If your parents will enjoy hosting you for Shabbos, definitely, why not? But if it's a burden or a strain or effort or a monetary loss, I don't think there's a chiyuv to go into that. So today we have discussed a very interesting sugya, in a way having a kesher with mitzvah achronah l'Shabbos, and what we examined is the question whether the mitzvah achronah l'Shabbos is only in its positive context, preparing what we need for Shabbos, or also preparing whatever could be done to avoid and prevent Chilul Shabbos l'tzorech pikuach nefesh. This week's parsha is Parshas Bishalach. And in Parshas Bishalach, Yetzias Mitzrayim reaches its climax. its dramatic climax. Previous weeks we dealt with Yetzias Mitzrayim, Parshas B'Shalach, we have Kiyas Yam Suf and Shiras Hayam. And Chazal say Shiras Yam was one of the highest points, one of the highlights in the history of Klal Yisrael. Ro'asu Shifchu Alayam Mashallah Ro'yeh Cheskel Anovi V'chol Anoviim. And when Bnei Yisrael said Shiras Yam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Miyoyim Shibarosi Oilami Loi Hoyo Misho Oma Lafonai Shiro. I salvaged Avraham from Ur Kasdim, he didn't say Shira. I saved Yitzchok from the Akedah, neither did he say Shira. I saved Yaakov from Lavan from Esav, and he did not say Shira. Nobody said Shira. Miyom Shabarosi Yisraeli Hacham Yisrael Shira Aliyam. And many commentaries wonder. Well, Chazal say that Odom Arishin, first night, he saw the world coming to an end. Darkness enveloping the entire world, and he was afraid that the world is over. And when sunrise, Shabbos morning, he said, "Mizmor Shiyuli Yom Shabbos." So the first man in the first day of human existence already said Shiro, "Mizmor Shiyuli Yom Shabbos." So how do Chazal say that nobody said Shiro? Obviously, there must be a difference between Shir and Shiro. Shiro is Shir Hashem. The Hey is indicative of God's name. That is Shira, and Shira is a higher level than Shir or Harel or Hidoya or Shevach. The Vesik Doshim Davin, Avraham Tikkun Shachas, Yitzchok Tikkun Mincha, Yaakov Tikkun Arvis. They had many forms of Avodas Hashem, but not Shira. And Shira is nobler, more sublime than any other form or method of Avodas Hashem. And that was unique with Shira Sayam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, nobody said Shira Ad She'omdu Yisrael Alayam. And they said Shira Sayam when they witnessed and experienced Kriyas Yam Suf. What is unique about Shira? In Kabbalah, there are various different interpretations, but I want to say an idea which is very simple. Az Yoshi Moshe uvenei Yisrael, why does the Pasuk use a future form? Why not as Shar, but rather as Yoshio? Rashi writes, Olo b'libosh Yosho Shira. However, Chazal, Beresh Perek Chelek, in Maseches Sanhedrin writes that Oz Yoshio means, it indicates Tchias HaMeisim, and in the end of days, when we will be Zoicha Tobias Moshiach Tzidkenu, we will once again say a tremendous Shira, which will be described as Shira Chadosha. But Rashi Bederech Pshat, Rashi writes, Oz Yosho Ola Beliboy, Shi Yoshir Shira. And the Maral asks, well, that seems to be a strange pshat, because everything a person does, basically, what defines human activity is soif masa b'machshava techila. So it would be relevant to everything a person does. Why does the pasuk dafki here say as Yosha ola b'levish Yosha shira? So the Maral makes an interesting comment. When does a person say Shira? When your heart overflows. When a heart overflows with ahava, with devotion, with kirvus elokim. Hashira poretzet mitoch halev, kasher halev ole al gedotav. And that is, if derech remez, what Rashi means when he says, Olo beliboy shiyoshir shira. So the Ran in Perek Arba Psochan asks a very interesting question, very well known. How do we say Shira B'Leila Seder in Megillah Daf Chof? It's a simple halacha that Halal is said only by day and not by night. So how do we say Halal B'Leila Seder? Not only once, but twice. Once in the Seder Adar Goda, and the twice in Bais Medrash. And Chassidim are noyed to say Halal and Bais Medrash with the bracha. So the Ram brings in the name of Rav Haigoin. The Halal we say B'Leila Seder is Shira. It's not Halal. What does he mean? It is Hallel. It's the same psukim we say every Yom Tov. The same Pirkei Tehillim, the same psukim. So, what is the difference whether we call it Hallel or call it Shiro?
Shiro poretzet metoich alev, olo belibo ishi yoshir shira. There's a Hasidic story, a Hasidic tale, told about the Hasidim of Rav Uri Mistralek. Rav Uri Mistralek was a great tzaddik, and before he passed away, he called his Hasidim and he told them, there's a young Rebbe in the Ukraine who is a big, big tzaddik, Satam velo piresh, ba'ala b'sara ha'shamayma. So after the demise of Rav Uri Mistralek, the Hasidim got together and they said, we have to look for a new Rebbe. Natluli adamet makel nidudam, and they went from town to town, from city to city, and they did not find Esh Ahavonashram until they arrived in Ruzhin. And being in Ruzhin, they were tremendously inspired and moved and attracted by the warmth of Rabbi Sol in Ruzhin. And they came into the Rebbe and said they want to be part of his chotzer, whether he would be willing to accept them as his Hasidim. And he said, of course, but you probably are aware of a tremendous problem. What is the problem? Rav Uri Mistralek used to daven with a tremendous aspirus. And the Streleski Hasidim of yore, just like Karolina Hasidim today, used to clap their hands and stomp their feet and yell and shout and sing. That was their Derech and Avodas Hashem. However, most of you probably know that in Ruzhin, no Hispilus externally, and all the Rebbes in the Gez of Ruzhin daven quietly, without any fanfare, without any obvious Islavis. So Rabbi Saul told them, if you want to be my Hasidim, you have to be Noye Kemeneg HaMokrem. And they said, well, goes without saying, it's only natural, we're very well aware of that. Va'al Menas came. So the first Shabbos, the new Hasidim came, was Shabbos Shiro. Berachas HaShachar was totally peaceful. Even Psukah de Zimr was relatively quiet. But when they got to Shira Seyam, it was like thunder, like a thunderstorm. And suddenly, at once, they started clapping their hands and yelling and shouting with tremendous eslavis. And when Shira Seyam was over, they were very, very ashamed of what they did. So Mitzvah Shabbos, they took off their shoes, Kedin Menuda, and they came into the Rebbe to apologize, and they said, we are ashamed. We know that we didn't act appropriately, and we ask Mechila. And you saw Meruzhin asked them, what are you talking about? What did you do? Well, we promised not to clap our hands, and we did. So Rabbi Saul told them, you promised not to clap, but when your hands clap by themselves and they're uncontrollable, that is not what we discussed. That was not my condition. So you have nothing to be sorry about. And that is the concept, the essence of Shira. When one's heart overflows with devotion and veikas and ahava and simcha, olo beliboy shiyoshir shiro, that is what sets Shira apart. Halel is said, Hashira nemeret me'atzma. So when a person wants to say Halal, we could dictate to him when you do say, when you don't say, how you say, and where you say, and when you say. But how could one confine Shira? How could one say Shira is said by day, not by night? We don't say Shira. Hashira poretzet mitoch halev, kisha'olo belibo ishiyosh Shira, and therefore, Halal b'leila seder shiro hashir yelachem kaleil hiskat eishachag, and one cannot contain shiro hashira poretzet min alev bein biyom bein b'leila. Yehirotzen, we should sing the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu all our lives, and we should zoicha, we should be zoicha b'korah b'yameinu az yushim oishim in days to come. It is then, as Yoshia Moshe v'nei Yisrael, we should have a shiro chadosho shibchu geulim bebias goel tzedek bebinyan beis hamikdash bebias Moshiach tzidkenu b'mheiro v'yomeinu. Amen.